Hello, this is Bricks and Mortar from EG. Today, we're talking to Joe Owen, partner at law firm Proskauer. Joe is a member of its private equity, real estate, hospitality, gaming and leisure groups. She has experience in a range of complex institutional and corporate property matters with an emphasis on advising private equity-based clients. She's here today to discuss her career in real estate and to share some advice for those starting out in the profession. You're listening to Sarah Jackman. Joe, thanks very much indeed for joining me today. You've come a long way, obviously, since you started in your career in the law and then subsequently specialising in real estate and the area that you're currently within. Talk me through how you got there.
Goodness, where to start? Thank you for having me. So I qualified as a solicitor some years ago, and I joined a firm at the time called Diblupton Broomhead that suddenly became Diblupton Allsop, and effectively I spent just under 20 years at DLA Piper before I was approached to join Proskauer several years ago and lead their private equity real estate group. I didn't quite know what I wanted to do as a younger girl, and I focused on the law because I thought the law was involved in every aspect of your life. And I really enjoyed the time that I spent training in real estate, what was then called property. And I have to say that I have had the most enjoyable few years, because real estate and what I originally started as property has just changed beyond belief. So if you think about transactions these days, they are incredibly involved and complicated. There's a huge amount of additional issues that we as lawyers have to think about. It's not just pure bricks and mortar, as you call it. Quite often there's tax issues, jurisdictional issues, people issues, data issues, particularly where that bricks and mortar is operational real estate, operational businesses. And I have just sort of worked my way through the ranks, so to speak. So as you just start and you move up. But I think something that I am very passionate about is having a positive effect with your clients and who you're interacting with.
Just in terms then of what attracted you to real estate, I mean, you've talked about the sort of complexity of the deals and how it's sort of evolved as an industry over the years.
Yeah.
Is that something that's helped sort of keep your interest and help develop your skills?
So I would say yes. I think I fell in love with real estate because of my father, who was an architect.
Right.
So I grew up around buildings and physical buildings and knew way too much about reinforced concrete at an early age. But for me, as a lawyer, being able to physically see and almost touch what you're involved in and transacting and can see grow literally out of the ground has been, it still excites me now and continues to. I think that real estate as a concept continues to evolve. And if you think about what we all talk about, it's no longer plain and simple. It's not just retail and residential. There are so many sub-sector specialities, and that allows you to focus on different elements. So it's evolutionary. So for me, I found myself several years ago involved in quite a lot of hospitality transactions. And you now see a number of aspects of those types of transactions involved in other subsectors. So if I said to you student housing, PRS, the private rented sector, where are the parallels? Well, the parallels are people, a service, relatively short-term occupation. But all of these things stem back to the legal framework. And that's how real estate continues to evolve. And I would say, and I've always said, clients take you on a journey. So when I first qualified, the majority of the transactions were in the office and retail space, and you would sometimes see the industrial sector, but industrial was more of a dirty word. Now industrial is logistics and is super sexy, and everyone wants logistics as part of their portfolio or looking at where they're investing. So it's never the same. And you know, where you would be negotiating leases for 25 years X number of years ago, you're now looking at a long lease if it's over 10 years. So it continues to change, but then everything does. And that's when it becomes interesting and allows you to perhaps focus on aspects of the real estate industry that particularly resonate.
Yeah. When you find trainees doing their rotations and coming to real estate, what do you think their perceptions of real estate are? I mean, does it take long for you to sort of win them over? I mean, what sort of person do you think the real estate specialism suits?
I think if you have a wider appreciation so that it's all-encompassing and you don't just see the physical, because you have to put in place quite often regimes, whether they're leases or other documents, which have to live for a long time. They're going to be scrutinized for a while. You're not necessarily going to paper something and put it in a drawer and forget about it. I mean, I think to be a lawyer you need certain requirements anyway, and it's a sort of irrelevant as to what specialism you take, because you've got to be thoughtful, you've got to be diligent, and you've got to care. You know, your decisions and your views are going to be scrutinised, and you have to be able to explain and be challenged and understand why you've come to a specific conclusion, because clients want advice, they want clear advice, they don't want unnecessarily complicated advice. But sometimes you have to communicate messages that not everyone wants to hear. So when it comes to winning over trainees, go back to your question, I think you have to find your passion. And if bricks and mortar and the wider real estate industry doesn't grab you, fine, find something else that does, because your career hopefully is going to last for many years and you want to enjoy it.
You mentioned the client relationship as something that you particularly enjoy in your career. How does somebody go about nurturing those client relationships?
No two clients are the same, and that is another joy of the day. It means that you have very different experiences. What I would say is client demands have increased, certainly during my professional life. And partly that is as a result of technology. So everything requires some form of immediate response, and clients are very much aware that they are having to perform. So when I think this comes to the team and whatever transaction you're working on, you're trying to make it easier for the client to understand what is going on, whether it's the decision, whether you're working on a transaction which is a negotiation. You know, try and think about how the client is interpreting the advice, what that's going to mean. I would say that sometimes people hide behind email too much, and it is a people business. Speaking to people is a joy. And I would encourage anyone to pick up the phone to negotiate, not just do it all by email. But clients are, you know, clients are very clear in what they want from their lawyers too, and it's a competitive environment. And I would say probably more so over time, because clients are cost appreciative and they're sensitive, and you know, people want sound advice, but they also want it done in a proper way. And perhaps unlike when I first started off, you would have firms who would just consistently act for a particular client. Now you have a client panel, and you can go off panel. So There's all sorts of opportunities, but the client is always right. So don't forget that, but you need to nurture how you get them to the end result and the advice you give.
You reached partner level some years ago. What do you think helped you to attain that level?
Sometimes people talk about the partnership conveyor belt. So you start out as a lawyer and then you qualify and then you go up through the ranks and it's a conveyor belt. And I would say now people have more choices and people actually elect that they don't want to pursue a partnership role, but they still want a very valid, interesting and hands-on with clients' career. And that needs to be respected. For me personally, I just was very clear in my own mind of what I wanted to achieve, and I saw partnership as a way of being able to have some form of direction and influence, not just over my working day and working career, but others around me. And I saw it as a position of responsibility that I wanted to attain. And I probably was relatively single-minded, and it was pre-having a child, and I was very clear as to what I wanted to attain, and I worked hard. But I would say for those looking to do something similar now is to grasp every opportunity you're given and to realise that you will be stretched on your professional journey. So I can think of a particular transaction I was working on, and it was at the time one of the largest sale and leasebacks, and it was a huge team I was helping to run. It was very involved, and I was so deep in it. It was all consuming, and looking back, it was probably one of the most uncomfortable periods of my life because I didn't have much sleep. It was a huge professional journey. What I would say is that as part of being stretched and growing is how you then think, right, I'm now ready for the next challenge and the next step.
And when you've recognised that within yourself and recognised that you are ready, how do people go about talking to sort of senior management or their immediate managers about taking the next step?
Different firms are going to have different partnership processes and tracks, and some are very formulaic, and so I can only really speak to what I've seen. But more often than not, it's something that you should be saying, please consider me, what can I do? It's something that you should not necessarily expect someone else to come and talk to you about. Take control over your career, be mindful of what you can do to help put yourself in a position where senior managers are taking note of you. And I think that would resonate irrespective of whatever you're doing. You know, take control of your career because no one else is going to do it for you.
And on that journey to partnership level, what sort of support did you have along the way?
So I was very fortunate to work with a couple of partners, male and female, who were very encouraging, who, if you had to describe the term now, they would be mentors. They were very supportive, not in a mommy coddling way, you know, no, that's wrong, but it was challenging me. And I remember having a conversation with a particular lady who was instrumental in my career development, and she said, why aren't you asking for partnership now? And in my mind, I thought I had to wait. And I remember going home and thinking, yeah, why aren't I? So I was very fortunate to have those people in my life. And they were also a slightly different time where you had more hands-on training. And I would say that you were able to sort of participate and see very senior lawyers in action in meetings in a way perhaps sometimes you don't see as much now because there aren't as many physical meetings, so much is done by conference call. But that guidance, that sage advice to say, have you considered this, is hugely helpful because it's such a personalised, sometimes a lonely journey. You want someone to give you some additional support, and they know who they are, but they are instrumental in helping me progress.
Okay. And for people now just embarking on that journey, where do they go to get that sort of support?
I think a number of firms have very clear mentoring or some sort of apprenticeship programs now in place. It's certainly something that we have in my current firm with a Women's Alliance and plan for those who are looking to take the next step. Just as in my old firm, we had a mentoring scheme which I actually helped set up. What makes it extra successful is when you actually want to do it. Mm. So rather than being told, this is a good idea, you know, why don't you participate? I would say, yeah, you know, do, but you've got to want to. And then you approach it completely differently. Mm. And mentoring isn't counselling, it's not even being promoted, it's not someone pushing you. It's someone giving you, hopefully, neutral, impartial, confidential advice to critique yourself, your journey. I have acted as a mentor both within formal schemes and also on a sort of an ad hoc, unsolicited basis where I've come across people through my working career, whether it's other surveyors, agents or others, and said, you know, fancy a coffee, what do you think about this? And sometimes you can be asked questions that you know are uncomfortable, or you're giving advice which, you know, they may not necessarily want to hear. But it's how you help other people grow. Mm-hmm. And experience in my personal view is so important.
And for anyone coming through the ranks today and exploring real estate as a career, what sort of skills do you think they need to develop?
That's a very expansive question, because you can come at it from your perspective or from the legal perspective. I would say real estate is an exciting industry. We've talked about evolution a little bit. It doesn't stay still. You can go into it in so many ways. From my side, I would say as a lawyer, I probably do more corporate real estate, and it's given me the ability to do so much. Looking at operational businesses, looking at people, looking at how buildings are functioning, how buildings are allowing new businesses to evolve. I mean, think about flexible working and co-working and all these other things, which really are concepts which have grown up very, very recently. Mm. So it just doesn't stay the same. But buildings and bricks and mortar, great potential.
Okay. What advice then really would you have for people who are looking to progress in their career? I mean, what about the ability to seek opportunity and sort of mentoring possibilities? What else can people be doing?
I would encourage everyone who is looking to sort of progress and reach out to say yes to opportunities, because it's through seeing and experiencing you work out what you like and equally what you don't like, and that allows you to make informed decisions, which are by far the best. I would say look and watch people around you, particularly those who are seniors, so you can see leadership styles or interpersonal skills in play, because you will probably take a little bit from each person you're with. I would say be true to yourself. If something feels completely wrong and you feel very unhappy or uncomfortable, then there's clearly something deeper that needs to be looked at. I would say life is a journey, and this applies to your career journey. It's not just always an upward trend. You can go round about. Don't see things as a failure or something wrong. It's always the next step. I would also encourage those coming through to learn from clients. I've said it before, clients take you on an amazing journey. And I can think of how, working with one particular client, I did a lot of office, did a lot of retail, then I did a lot of hospitality, mainly hotel work, and then from them I then went on to do student housing, PRS, logistics, and they have allowed me to expand my understanding of each of those subsectors. But it, you know, it continues. So just say yes and do it. And I think I have seen people who hold themselves back, who think, I can't, you know, I've not done this before, or am I right, or should I be doing this? And the answer is yes, have a go, and be mindful of what you don't know, but ask. You know, there's a lot of support and encouragement that people want to give and pass down.
Okay, and finally, just thinking about networks, really. I mean, real estate is a very sociable industry. How important is it for you to build that network right from the start of your career?
It's fundamental, and it's a really important point you've made. I think that networks, again, are those which help you on your personal and career journey. It's not mentoring. It's something quite different. Mm-hmm. It's more akin to business development. And I think that the sooner that you get into a skill set and a frame of mind of socializing, talking, and working out who is doing what, the better. I mean, information is imparted now in so many ways. You know, it's years ago it would be, you know, meetings, it would be in the pub, whatever, but now there's so many ways and channels. But coming back down to interpersonal skills and being able to present, listen, help, networking is so important. And I think we're so fortunate now to have, dare I say, you know, those channels where you're using things like LinkedIn and other professional networks to really encourage each other. You're also doing a bit of self-publication or firm publication, whatever you're doing, but you're looking to see how you can help connect other people. And I think one of the biggest points you start to realize, you go, yes, it's not just about who else do I know and what else can I take. It's who else do I know who might need to know this person? How do I connect them? And during my career, I've noticed, particularly after the global financial crash, the lawyer's job sort of became multitasking. It was sort of almost akin to agencies. Like, if you hear anything off market, you're able to talk about, you know, let us know. It's always about connecting the dots. And obviously, being hugely aware of your confidentiality issues and what you can say and what you can't. But it's about helping others connect as well. And I know I've made a huge number of work friends through wider networks, and it's hugely rewarding to see those networks itself flourish and come to other points, whether it's a work connection, a work transaction, or helping someone do something they didn't think they could do.
Jay, that's a really interesting point to end on. Thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. It's been a really interesting look at your career.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Bricks and Mortar from EG with Sarah Jackman. For more on developing a career in real estate, see the archive of the Bricks and Mortar series at podbean.com and the APC and Mainly for Students series at egi.co.uk.